Today is September 27th, 2020. As the coronavirus continues to be active in our communities, we offer this recorded service, and I welcome you to this time of worship. It is God who draws us together with a yearning to praise that is bigger than us, and a desire to give thanks for the bountiful gifts of life. It is God who draws us together for comfort in a bruising world and to strengthen our faith. It is God who draws us together to sing and pray and to experience the healing power of God. Let us worship together. And please join with me in prayer. Great Jehovah, hold us with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Strong deliverer, be our strength and shield. O God, we come to you today, proclaiming your greatness and seeking your power for our weakness. Be with us in this time of worship. Speak to our hearts words of challenge and comfort, that we may be renewed and ready to face another week. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to listen and to join in singing the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
Today's scripture comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. I'll be reading verses 12 through 20 and 50 through 57 from the New International Version. Paul writes these words: "If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in the fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all peoples most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Please pray with me. Holy God, we praise and glorify you. We rejoice in all the ways you provide for us and sustain us. Open our hearts and minds to your word and fill us with your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our nation passed a significant milestone this past week: the death of over 200,000 attributed to the COVID-19 virus. While that is the most deaths in any country, according to researchers of Johns Hopkins University, the U.S. ranks 11th in the number of deaths per 100,000 in population. No matter what the numbers are, there are millions of friends and family members who are grieving the loss of a loved one in the last 7 months. Three active members of our church have died in that time period, not all from COVID-19, but they were all affected by the virus, just like each of us has been. With each death, a hole remains in the collective heart of our congregation, as well as in the hearts of numerous church family members. But what happens when we die? That's a question everyone wants to know the answer to, but one that most people are reluctant to talk about. On the one hand, many of us are repulsed by death, by its finality, and by its inevitability. On the other hand, we're attracted by the hope of what might be beyond: escape, new beginnings, freedom from pain and suffering. The boxer Joe Louis said it best: everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Today I want us to focus a few minutes on what happens after we die. I can't answer all the questions. I can't even answer most of them. In the end, we're still going to be faced with a mystery. What we know through Jesus Christ. Just as he is our model for life, he is also our model for the life to come. There are many people who believe that nothing happens after we die, that it's the end, period. They believe that after death, we cease to exist, that there's a total void. Our senses support that understanding. The way we know another person is by what we see them do, what we hear them say, the way they touch us, either gently in love or harshly in anger. Death brings an end to all of that. Our senses cease to know the person. We have precious memories, and the things the person has taught us continue to affect us deeply. But at the moment of death, all communication, the lifeblood of human relationships, stops. There is biblical support for this understanding. The Old Testament talks about the dead going to a place called Sheol, a place of darkness and emptiness, a place separated from the life-giving presence of God. The New Testament also talks about the finality of death. If death were not such a formidable thing, then Jesus' resurrection would not be such a big deal. If death were just an automatic passageway from this life into a better one, Jesus' return from death would be a regression. Instead of rejoicing that he returned from death, we would feel sorry for him. But the scriptures say that for 3 days Jesus was dead, and that he was in the vast empty place the Old Testament calls Sheol. Yet there is something in the human spirit that knows we are indeed intended to exist beyond our death. From the dawn of time, human beings have been straining to break the boundaries of life that death puts on us. For example, the ancient Egyptians built pyramids to shelter their pharaohs as they journeyed to the afterlife. The Confucians of China built altars in their homes to provide a place for the spirits of their ancestors. We instinctively know that there must be something about us that was meant to live beyond death. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:26 calls death the last enemy, because death is something that works against what we were created to be. I think the popularity of books that describe communication with those who have died affirms what so many of us want to believe: that death is really no big deal. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible affirms that death is a big deal. And the only one who can keep us from being destroyed by it is God himself, who sent Jesus Christ to face it head on. It wasn't something that Jesus necessarily wanted to do or looked forward to. On the night before he died, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that he would be delivered from death. He prayed so earnestly that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. It's only because Jesus himself died and suffered the full power of death, and then was raised from its abyss on Easter, that there is any hope for us beyond the grave. Eternal life is not something that's programmed into us. It's not an automatic event. The Bible calls death our enemy because it has robbed us of eternal life. The power of Christ is that he has reclaimed life for us, and that he gives it back to us as a gift. If Jesus had not conquered the power of death by his resurrection, we would think of him only as another great teacher, perhaps sent by God to enlighten us, but not having the power of God to create and restore life. It is through his resurrection that Jesus is our Savior, and his life and teachings show us how we are to live now that we have been saved from the destructions of death. So what are those whom we love, who have died, doing right now? Are they watching over us? Are they enjoying God's presence? Do they know we must miss them terribly? The Bible does not give a detailed account of what we do in the years between our death and the return of Christ. I suspect that's because we would not be capable of understanding such an account if it were provided. When we think about where the dead are or what they are doing, the only way we can think of them is in the ways that we who are alive can conceive. But I suspect that when we die, all the categories of time and knowledge that we use to order our lives will be changed. Earlier in his first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully." Someone once wrote about death, saying that death is not a collapse of the soul, but an expansion. That author compared the experience of dying to that of a little boy walking through a dark valley full of fears and uncertainties after being away from home. In the darkest and most frightening part of the journey, his father goes out to meet him and takes his hand and leads him the rest of the way until they reach home. I like that depiction and description. It reminds me of the depiction of the shepherd in Psalm 23. Dying is the scariest part of life's journey, something none of us has ever done before. It's at the moment of our death that God takes us by the hand and holds us until we reach our final destination. We don't reach it the moment we die. It's not until Christ comes again that God will gather all his children into his home. When we die, we are with God, free from pain and worry, as we wait for the resurrection of our bodies at the end of time. We know that there are a lot of things we don't understand, but we also know the one who provides for us. We may have some fears about death and questions about resurrection, but our faith tells us that whatever is in the future, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, is there waiting for us, and the love and acceptance we know here are but a foretaste of what is to come. May our faith in Jesus give us comfort and hope in these challenging times. Please join with me in prayer. God of the living, we are filled with joy when we read and hear about the resurrection of Jesus, but many of us are still afraid to die. We hail the first fruits of your victory over death, but the fear of death continues to haunt us. We are perplexed because we cannot imagine life outside the familiar boundaries of time and space. We know all too well what happens to this body, but we cannot conceive of a heavenly body or a life without a body. We know that our years are still a finite number, but the notion of eternal life, however hard we try to envision, defies our imagination. Gracious God, remind us that just a moment ago we existed only in your mind, unconscious, unborn, until you saw fit to bring us to life on this planet, so wondrously supplied by your grace for all of our needs. Grant us childlike trust in your power to bring us into our new and more perfect life, and assure us again through our crucified and risen Lord of your love that wants us to be born into that new life. Ruler of both time and space, shine through the clouds of our questions and uncertainties, and may we lay our trust in the one you resurrected from the dead, so that we may have eternal life, Jesus the Christ. It is in his name that we ask this. Amen. I invite you now to listen and to join in singing the hymn, Thine is the Glory.
Thank you.
As this time of worship concludes, may the mind of Christ our Savior live in us from day to day, by his love and power controlling all we do or say. May the word of God dwell richly in our hearts from hour to hour, so that all may see we triumph only through God's power. May the love of Jesus fill us as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing. This is victory. May we run the race before us, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as we onward go. Amen.